brought to you by Penguin.
Burmese Days by George Orwell. Read by Sid Sagar. Chapter 1. Upo Chin, subdivisional magistrate of Chowkhtadar in Upper Burma, was sitting in his veranda. It was only 8:30, but the month was April, and there was a closeness in the air, a threat of the long stifling midday hours. Occasional faint breaths of wind, seeming cool by contrast, stirred the newly drenched orchids that hung from the eaves. Beyond the orchids, one could see the dusty, curved trunk of a palm tree, and then the blazing ultramarine sky. Up in the zenith, so high that it dazzled one to look at them, a few vultures circled without the quiver of a wing. Unblinking, rather like a great porcelain idol, Upo Chin gazed out into the fierce sunlight. He was a man of 50, so fat that for years he had not risen from his chair without help, and yet shapely and even beautiful in his grossness, for the Burmese do not sag and bulge like white men, but grow fat symmetrically, like fruits swelling. His face was vast, yellow and quite unwrinkled, and his eyes were tawny. His feet, squat, high-arched feet with the toes all the same length, were bare, and so is his cropped head, and he wore one of those vivid Arakanese longjis with green and magenta checks which the Burmese wear on informal occasions. He was chewing betel from a lacquered box on the table and thinking about his past life. It had been a brilliantly successful life. Upo Chin's earliest memory, back in the 80s, was of standing, a naked pot-bellied child, watching the British troops march victorious into Mandalay. He remembered the terror he had felt of those columns of great, beef-fed men, red-faced and red-coated, and the long rifles over their shoulders, and the heavy, rhythmic tramp of their boots. He had taken to his heels after watching them for a few minutes. In his childish way, he had grasped that his own people were no match for this race of giants. To fight on the side of the British, to become a parasite upon them, had been his ruling ambition, even as a child. At 17 he had tried for a government appointment, but he had failed to get it, being poor and friendless, and for 3 years he had worked in the stinking labyrinth of the Mandalay bazaars, clerking for the rice merchants, and sometimes stealing. Then, when he was 20, a lucky stroke of blackmail put him in possession of 400 rupees, and he went at once to Rangoon and bought his way into a government clerkship. The job was a lucrative one, though the salary was small. At that time, a ring of clerks were making a steady income by misappropriating government stores, and Po Chin, he was plain Po Chin then, the honorific Oo came years later, took naturally to this kind of thing. However, he had too much talent to spend his life in a clerkship, stealing miserably in annas and pice. One day, he discovered that the government, being short of minor officials, were going to make some appointments from among the clerks. The news would have become public in another week, but it was one of Po Chin's qualities that his information was always a week ahead of everyone else's. He saw his chance and denounced all his confederates before they could take alarm. Most of them were sent to prison, and Po Chin was made an assistant township officer as the reward of his honesty. Since then, he had risen steadily. Now, at 56, he was a subdivisional magistrate, and he would probably be promoted still further and made an acting deputy commissioner, with Englishmen as his equals and even his subordinates. As a magistrate, his methods were simple. Even for the vastest bribe, he would never sell the decision of a case, because he knew that a magistrate who gives wrong judgments is caught sooner or later. His practice, a much safer one, was to take bribes from both sides and then decide the case on strictly legal grounds. This won him a useful reputation for impartiality. Besides his revenue from litigants, Upo Chin levied a ceaseless toll, a sort of private taxation scheme, from all the villages under his jurisdiction. If any village failed in its tribute, Upo Chin took punitive measures. Gangs of dacoits attacked the village, leading villagers were arrested on false charges, and so forth. And it was never long before the amount was paid.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?